Hey, Rob.
Hey Joe, how are you?
I'm all right. How was your day?
It was cold and nasty, but no, it's a benefit of working from home. I don't have to be out in it, but it's that time of year.
It's cloudy and gray, but I'll take rain over the dirty S word any day.
Yeah, I'd heard in the last couple of days some of the meteorologists putting it out there that it's almost to the point when it gets like this that you almost want it just to be snow,
Well,
not me, not me.
I saw the Kansas City Denver game, and it was snowing out there pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. That
So
was a fun game to watch. So,
I can keep it. So, all right, let's get going. This is Indy's Local Flavor. I'm Joe Carney, along with my buddy Rob. Please visit my sponsors, our sponsors. They'll treat you right. My buddy Josh Cohn's out there at Ray Skillman. He'll put you into a car. If you're looking for a new or used car, his cell phone number is 317-665-6559. Once again, it's Josh Cohn's there at Ray Skillman. 317-665-6559. If you need any sort of, we've talked about winterizing your car before. If you need an oil change, and they service all makes and models. It's Jones Family Auto. Call Mike Jones at 317-897-7724. My buddy Johnny Black, 765-647-2825. That's a Jones Family Auto. Mike Jones at 317-897-7724. My buddy Johnny Black at 765-647-2825. And take care of your automotive needs. If you're looking for some new wheels to customize your ride, or one of your hubcaps fell off. I had this service done a couple weeks ago. They have every model you can think of at Circle City Hubcap and Wheels. Give John Craig a call. That's a 317-890-1450. That's a Circle City Hubcap and Wheels, John Craig at 317-890-1450. They're at a 40 North Post Road on the east side across from Karma Records. It's dinner time, so if you're looking and you're bold enough to venture out in this crazy environment we're in right now, please do. Some of the places I go occasionally is if you're looking for authentic Mexican, that's El Jarepo. They're at 30th East Washington Point Drive. Their phone number, 317-898-3921. They have a full menu of everything you could think of. If you want adult beverages, they have adult beverages. Of course, they have margaritas. They've got appetizers, fajitas, seafood, chicken, the normal Mexican traditional foods, tacos, vegetarian combo meals. They've got kids' meals, quesadillas, burritos, enchiladas, and they've got great drinks as well. Make sure you check them out. That's El Jarepo at a 30 East Washington Point Drive. Their phone's number is 317 898-3921. If you're in the mood for Asian, in my opinion, it's the best local Asian in town. It's Yin Ching. They're at 8212 East Washington Street on the east side. Their phone number is 317-899-3270. If you want to get a picture of what they serve, go to the website at Yin Ching, YENCHING King, KING dot com. They're available for lunch and dinner, and they're closed on Monday. They have this is what I normally get. I don't normally get the soup every time, but they have egg drop soup, they have hot and sour soup. What I do get every time is a crab rangoon, and then my son likes the pineapple beef. My daughter likes the orange chicken. I usually get the sweet and sour pork or the sweet and sour shrimp, and they also have a vegetarian option, Weight Watcher option. And then they have many, and if you like it spicy, they've got it spicy as well. I mean, they've just, they've got tons and tons and tons of options, and they, you know, their lunch options is 38 items, so you can't go wrong. That's a Yin Ching. Give them a call, 317-899-3270. Also, I've been here recently. They're busy right now because everybody loves pizza. It's Giacomo's Upper Crust Pizza. They're open 11 to 9. You can sit down or you can get it delivered to your door, or you can get, or you can drive up for carry out. You can go to the north side at Fort Bend at 317-986-4545, the south side in Greenwood at 317-883-8993, or I usually go to the east side in Irvington at 317-356-6612. I haven't really talked about much about their appetizers, but their breadsticks are really good. Their hummus plate was really good with feta cheese. If you like feta cheese, that was really good. Their pizzas, I'm a believer of pineapple on pizza, so my son loves that as well. So the luau with barbecue sauce is really good. The lasagna pizza is good. The taco pizza is good. They don't make bad pizzas. The Lazy Boy, Cheese Louise, the Slaughterhouse Five is excellent. The barbecue chicken, the Thai is really good. And I'm adventurous, so I went and got the Shipwreck, which is a shrimp pizza. And they even have a veggie pizza, and I've had the SoCal because my mom can't have soy. So I had the veggie pizza with her. So I hope that makes you hungry there, Rob. So there you go.
Yeah. No, I'll take one of each.
To go.
Yeah. To go.
Oh, my. Let's get started on the sports scoreboard, and then we can go from there. The Big Ten started this week, which is a great thing, I think. Give people some more options to watch. Wisconsin beat Illinois. Ohio State beat Nebraska. The shocker of the weekend was IU beat number 8 Penn State in overtime with one of the best moves in Hoosier football history in quite a long time. Michigan beat Minnesota to get the jug it's the jug game. I don't remember technically what the jug is called. I was really surprised Rutgers beat Michigan State.
Yeah.
Purdue beats Iowa. You want to talk about that, Rob?
Yeah. You were going over some local businesses you'd recommend. I'm going to give a shout out to a streaming company.
Sure.
If anybody's on YouTube TV and has experienced difficulties with whether it's YouTube TV that you go to when you want to, you know, stream things on multiple devices, or you're finding yourself caught up with Google, I literally spent a week trying to untangle everything because the TV I bought, you know, it just kept doing the same thing over and over and over again. But I did some research. I found another streaming company. They're a little bit more expensive, but they have everything, and they tend to be a sports centric or heavy streaming service. It's called FOBU, FOBU. And when that Purdue game was going on, I literally was looking for it because I knew that the game was on. I knew exactly what it was on BTN.
Right.
And so I was like, what can I do right now to get that game on my TV? And yes, the Purdue Iowa game I watched on my TV live, first first show I've seen on my TV live.
Yeah.
And it was glorious. And then of course, yes, IU, you know, they're probably making up t-shirts and planning, you know, their championship run here. And after 33 years, they beat a top 10 team.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, there are no real IU, grad type journalists in national media. We won't even get into local media about that. But
what about Sage Steele?
Yeah. Here's the thing with that.
Okay. All right.
The fact that IU is ranked 17th, right? They won a game. Okay.
Right. I
looked at the history and some of the things that shocked me about IU, and really the only two names I can think of from IU that, you know, have really done anything in the last 33 years, were Trent Green, Antoine Randall L.
Right, I agree.
They played since that time, since the first time, last time they beat a top 10 team. So Trent Green never beat a top 10 team. Antoine Randall L never beat a top 10 team. So, but I know that for the season that we're in, for any activity, but for college sports, you know, there are teams on the top 25 that haven't played a game yet. Oregon and USC, right? So I'm willing to, you know, not be too dramatic about IU being ranked and you know, good for them. They protected the rock or whatever. I don't even know if that game was. What the hell is that? Protecting a rock.
Well, that was Coach Terry, whatever. Don't remember the last name.
Yeah. So, that's right. That's right.
That was his deal.
I'm more passionate in, I guess I told you so about the top four teams right now, because that's what this other stuff is about. And I've said for what, a month or two now since we've been doing this, guess what? Clemson's number one, Bama's number two, OSU is number three because they won a game, and Notre Dame is number four. So
we're going to have this. Let me finish this last two scores in a row.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Northwestern stomped Maryland, which I was surprised.
I saw that.
It wasn't even close.
I saw that.
And I'm not an Irish guy, but they won easy over Pitt. So,
yeah. The Irish are 5-0, okay? But of the top four teams in the top 25, everybody's won at least five games, you know? So, except OSU.
Okay, so here's my thing. I can't stand the BCS. I think it's straight garbage. And I'll tell you why. It's slanted to the Southern teams.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to get the Northern teams aren't going to get the primetime bowls. And the West Coast isn't going to get the primetime bowls. And in my opinion, this isn't impossible. It's doable. In my opinion, the top 24 teams should be having a playoff, just like they do in basketball, and you take all this BCS garbage off the table.
Well, and you're right where I am. I've spent 5 to 10 years, or you know, since the playoff championship format came about with the top four teams, they absolutely could do 6, 8, 12 teams. And make it a true playoff, and all they're doing is and they would make so much more money than what they're doing right now, which is they're paying the lesser schools to basically, you know, just waste the first month of the season. This year is an exception because, you know, the Big Ten just now started playing football, and what are they going to do? Play four games and then head into their, you know, their their holiday season to where, you know, only the top four show up in January, and then that's it. But in a traditional season, September, August is wasted with payoffs to lesser teams. Think about how much money could be made in a true playoff scenario with 12 teams. And then you share that wealth with those teams. You're paying off to, you know, not have real competition. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, because I think the mid-majors deserve a shot.
Yep.
So.
Well, I think Georgia deserves a shot. I think, see, who are some of the others that are in the running if we took the top 12? You know, you got Oklahoma State, Cincinnati. You know, I've always been a friend or a fan of Cincinnati and what they've done. Wisconsin's ninth, you know. Yeah. So two of the top 10 are Big Ten teams. You know, let's see what can be.
Let's open it up. Why not?
Yep.
So we're going to do the NFL wrap-up. The Steelers barely got by the Titans, but they did. Right. Your boys, the Saints, barely beat the Panthers. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. I had to start Jared Cook in fantasy because Baltimore was on the bye. But he got a touchdown, thank goodness. And I think, well, as far as, you know, kind of what I do each week, my top 10 versus somebody else's top 10. I literally did not include the Saints in the top 10 this time around, but NFL networks around the NFL report did make them number 10. The Bucks are coming on. So, you know, they're at a place where, but again, Breeze doesn't have his number one or number two weapons right now, and they're still doing it. And with Brady, oh, look, Gronk showed up. So, you know.
Now, NBC has the Bucks at number 5. And I'm like, what?
Around the NFL has them at 6, and I actually put them at 4. So I can see that.
All right.
Because it's, you know, I think it's kind of like the stock market. You're reading momentum into it. I heard some, I believe, Brady homers talking about him being in the MVP run.
They said that. They said that on NBC too.
Yeah. So. I think that's a little premature, even though the Seahawks, you know, had a nail biter that they lost against Arizona.
Right.
I still think Russell Wilson's it.
Oh, I agree. The Raiders made the Bucks look like Super Bowl champions. And again, I'm going to say this again. You know, the Chiefs upset was a great game. All three teams showed up. However, this is a broken record for me. Defensive coordinator, dude, your defense is giving up 30 points a game. You need to go.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. And you texted me on that. And, you know, to the point about them beating the Chiefs and then, you know, just kind of laying a you know what down on this last Sunday,
a little surprise.
I still have the Chiefs at number 2, and around the NFL has the Chiefs back up at number 1, and it's specifically because they lost to the Raiders, and you know, so that and it's not because the Raiders are a bad team; they can be a very good team. It's. I call that, I'm going to start calling that Cowboy-itis, the Raiders and, well, the Colts. You just get a little case of Cowboy-itis, and you're not going to play very well.
Yeah. The Chiefs bucked the Broncos. That wasn't a surprise. Man, that Cards-Seahawks game was outstanding.
I had to stay up all night basically during that whole game because I did put a wager. It was the second time I put a wager on Arizona twice in 2 weeks, and they have not let me down in 2 weeks. So I like the Cardinals. I have them at number 10 now.
Who's their coach? I couldn't tell you.
Oh, yeah. What? Oh, my gosh. He's a young guy. Came out of college.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. That's all right.
But he's out of the same, you know, kind of mold as I think Sean McVay, you know, just younger and that's that division. I mean, that division is going to be really neat to watch. And they're calling it the NFC best, and I believe that's right. And
I agree. Calling
it NFC East, the NFC Least. I think that's very accurate. I'm wondering if, you know, the AFC East is going to be called the AFC Beast because there's a lot going on there too.
Oh, my mercy. I did not. Well, you know, I see local games on my antenna, so I don't have the super deluxe NFL package, whatever. But I did see the extended play where the Lions came back, Matt Stafford marched them straight down and beat the Falcons right at the end. And I'm like, are you like kidding me, dude?
That's another acronym that I had heard tossed about even before that game had. Mm-hmm. It is ATL now stands for another tragic loss.
That is true indeed.
And I don't know if you saw this, but they've done replays since then. That the reason why that happened was that the series right before that, Atlanta had it, could have run it down to the one and stopped, but the guy realized it at the last second. Yeah, realized it at the last second and got a touchdown.
Yeah, Todd Gurley. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, oopsie.
Oopsie. I mean, fantasy, you know, there's fantasy impact, but there's a lot of, you know, what do you want if you're a true Falcons fan? I don't know.
Right, exactly. The Washington football team beat the Cowboys. And the big thing about this was, I don't know the name of the defensive guy, but the defensive guy speared Andy Dalton right in the helmet and knocked him into the planet Mars.
Right.
And, you know, he got kicked out of the game, and the Cowboys brought in their third receiver, whose name I don't know. I guess he's from James Madison.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, and I saw that replay. I was like, wow. Knocked his helmet off.
The rumor on that, or the fact on that, is that being ejected from the game means he will not be suspended, but he'll probably be fined. I agree with that. Right. One angle I saw of that hit, though, I looked at it, and, you know, it was a vicious hit. It almost looked like a shoulder, not a helmet, but we'll let that be what it is, because, you know, it's cowboy karma that this is happening to them. But another, you know, thing to try to stir controversy or whatever in the media has been the linemen for Dallas.
Right.
They just went over and was like, are you okay? And you know, they didn't go after the guy that had caused the injury. So,
right. And he was sliding. It's not like he was going head first. He was
right.
Dalton was sliding. He was down and sliding.
Yep. I agree. Yep.
So, the other good news for the Washington football team, Ron Rivera, I don't know if you saw this or not. I saw it on social media. He just finished his last chemo treatment. And can you imagine coaching, the stress of coaching a football team and doing chemo?
Yeah. He rang the bell. I saw that footage. And then after you ring the bell, at least where he's at, when you walk out the door, all the staff there basically are there to, you know, be cheerleaders as you're walking out. And
yeah.
I thought that was really neat. And the stress of a job like that, which is, you know, definitely during the season, a 24/7 job.
Yeah.
And doing that, I really do hope that with all the other stuff aside, that they're able to have a decent year. That you know, that's a source of kind of just the opposite of Dallas, a rallying point to where they can come together as a team.
The Packers beat the Texans, and the Chargers beat the Jags, which means everybody in the AFC South lost. So the Colts win and didn't do anything. They just recuperated. They're in a solid second place now.
And the trap game, I think we talked a few weeks ago about a trap game. The trap game will be Detroit this next week.
Oh, yeah, I want to go in depth on that. In the Monday night game, the Rams beat the Bears pretty easy. However, in fantasy, I did do another grand slam this week. So
nice, good job.
I'll take that.
Good job. Yeah, the 30 points I was up headed into that one. Mm-hmm. They had Rams D, and they closed half of it. Wow. So that D did really well, and I was doing a double take or two. But I cleaned up in my league, and we'll see what happens next week.
Yeah. And I can't believe we're going into week 8, which means the season's half over.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, we're there. We're halfway there.
Yeah. Week 8 looks like this. Another garbage game on Thursday. Falcons and the Panthers on Thursday night.
Yeah.
that'll be not watch TV. Raiders are at Cleveland. This is put – they're 3-3. This is – I won't say must win, but, you know, you got Beckham out for the year. You know, if the Raiders cough up 30 points to the Browns, which Mayfield can carve them up for 30 points, I think, without Beckham. Yeah, that's a dangerous game for the Raiders.
I am interested in seeing that one just because how I'm going to say badly the Colts played against Cleveland. I want to see how close that game is because that's going to give, I think, an indicator of possible wild card bids.
Yeah.
On how that goes. Let's say the Raiders do win by a couple points, right?
Yeah.
Well, the Colts weren't able to do that, and because the Colts shot themselves in the foot, they're still a game back. You know what? How does that start adding up?
Right. And then the Colts are at Detroit, the Lions game, mm-hmm. and the Colts are favored by 3. What's your thoughts?
I would say right now I agree with that line that they should win by more than 3. But again, we've been down this road with Jacksonville, and guess what? They're 1-6.
Yeah, no kidding.
We should have had the Cleveland Browns, but guess what?
Yeah.
So I'm always hesitant talking about the Colts, but 3 points right now, I would say it's more than that for the Colts.
The Colts on paper should win this game. I think personally the Colts will win this game. However, this is a huge trap game. The Lions are coming off a big come behind victory in Atlanta. Matt Stafford can still play. I couldn't tell you the names of one of his receivers, but I know who his running back is. His running back's Adrian Peterson, and he can still play. I don't know how good the Lions defense is. But here's the thing. If the Colts look past the Lions to where they're worried about the Ravens that next week, the Lions will sneak up on them.
Yep. I put the Lions in the same category as the Vikings. The Colts destroyed the Vikings. They
right.
should destroy the Lions. I hope with the bye week that is true.
They should be beating Lions. So, I think we can rest assured. Hopefully that will happen. The game of the week, the AFC North battle. It's the Steelers and the Ravens. So I have a fantasy question for you, and I normally don't do this, but I don't go by point predictions either very much, but for whatever reason, would you take Ryan Tannehill at Cincinnati or Lamar Jackson at home against Pittsburgh?
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great problem to have. I mean, they're giving more points to Tannehill because it's the Bengals. But I'm like, Lamar's going to be getting some offense somewhere. So.
Well, and here's the angle I'm coming from it at, right? I've got Mark Andrews, and I'm playing him. Okay, period.
Yeah, right.
I've got Baltimore D, but I also have Kansas City D. And what they just did to Denver, I'm probably going to play Kansas City D this week over Baltimore D just because of how that Pittsburgh-Baltimore game is going to go. I also have on my bench Joe Burrow, and I think Joe Burrow is going to have a big game, and I think Tannehill is going to have a big game. So, yeah. Summary, if it's me, I'm doing Tannehill.
Okay, because I always go to the date with who you came with, and I'm doing Lamar Jackson. But
yeah. Well, so. And I've tried to be that way with a third to a half of my roster.
But yeah,
I've already traded my number one pick because he's on injured reserve, Nick Chubb. I've got Mostert on injured reserve indefinitely. Yeah. I've got Austin Eckler on injured reserve indefinitely.
Right.
And so the war of attrition has happened there. And so I don't have a lot of options. And you know, if I had Lamar Jackson, given what the Steelers did in stopping the Titans run game, it'll be a low score. I think it'd be a lower score.
Yeah, I agree there, definitely. So, up next, your boys, the Saints, are in Chicago. What do you think about that matchup?
Colts beat them. I think Saints will beat them. I don't know what the line is on that. Again, Saints don't have their top two people, or at least didn't this last week, and somehow they're still finding a way.
Right. The Bears are – the Bears haven't found their identity yet. They don't – they aren't scoring consistently. The Bears don't have a great coach. And because of that, it's affecting them on the field.
Yeah.
So, but I
think Nick Foles is definitely a better quarterback, but the rest of it, that game last night kind of sums up what their season is. They're really good teams. They can't get past. And sometimes what I still am going to classify the Colts as a above average team slightly, they can't beat them either.
Yeah. An NFC West matchup, the Niners at the Seahawks. So that's, you know what? The NFC West, like a couple years ago, is kind of like flip a coin. Flip a coin. Now, Seahawks should be winning that since they lost last week on paper. But with the NFC West, if you're playing your rival, to me, it's kind of flip a coin and see what happens.
Yeah, that's why Arizona got him. It's like the AFC West, you know, kind of like what the Raiders did to the Chiefs. When it's your division, you show up usually, and because you play them twice a year, you know them, you know their history, and I mean, look at the NFC East. That's why they all suck.
they equally
suck.
Which I'll get to in a moment. Another interesting game is going to be the Titans at the Bengals. Titans should be winning that one. And the Sunday night game is yawn. Cowboys at the Eagles.
Yes.
Right. So
didn't they used to have a flex thing? Can't they?
They do that in December.
They do it in December. I didn't know it was just 1 month or whatever. So, okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, because after Thanksgiving weekend, they start to get into that, I think, a little bit.
Okay.
And then the Monday night game is the Bucks at the Giants. So that should be interesting. So, yeah.
It's a nice choice of words. Interesting.
Yeah.
It'll be like, what was the one that I talked about? It was like watching scenes out of Braveheart. I don't know what game that was. It was just like you turn your eyes. I think it was Arizona against the Cowboys. Yeah. Yeah. That's...
Yeah. So I'm going to, if you have any funny stories, I'm all ears. I'd forgotten one of my cardinal rules in quoting anybody. So, and I was getting ready to text you about it, but I talked to my brother about it in Florida. And there came a story on my Google feed on my phone, talked about a big NBA trade.
I know where you're going.
It was a three-team deal, and it was a huge trade. And I'm talking about it with my brother, and then I look at the website, and I'm like, this website doesn't look correct. So I go to ESPN. and they say nothing about it because this trade is massive. And I'm like, it's a trade rumor on my Google feed. That's supposed to be legit, man.
Was it accompanied by a letter from a Nigerian prince asking for money?
Been there, done that, my friend.
Yep.
It's called catfished.
Yep,
been there, done that.
Yep.
Yeah.
I actually have a kind of an add-on with the whole Google thing. I saw a feed today, and I think it's legit. But one of the most frequently entered questions or phrases right now is, "Can I change my vote?" I laughed at that one, but that kind of ties in with what my dad told me a long time ago: believe nothing of what you, nothing of what you hear, and half of what you see.
I had a coworker of mine, speaking of which, stood in line for 2 hours, right, to vote, and they voted straight ticket.
Nice.
And I'm like, why didn't you do that by mail?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, okay,
yeah. I kind of see both sides of it. My dad, I think, is doing the absentee/mail-in thing.
Yeah.
My mom, I talked to her yesterday or day before yesterday, and she's like, she's, you know, getting up there in age, and she's like, I'm going to the poll, and I'm going to pull the lever. And I was like, then that's you. You go, and you be you. So,
I get that argument, and I was thinking about doing that, but I mean, the last time I went, you know, I didn't get there till 20:06, and there was 40 people in front of me.
Yeah,
I'm like, nope.
Yeah, right. That's why I'm taking that day off. And I told some people about it today in our weekly meeting, and they basically told me to pack a lunch and take a ladder and
or a porta potty.
Like, yeah. So I was like, you know, we'll get it done somehow, but.
Yeah.
No, you were asking about other funny stories. I'd written down with it being Halloween. Maybe the topic should be Halloween movies. But when you said funny stories, it was last year or year before last. I had heard that you get on iTunes, they have the Halloween mix or whatever. So I had the candy set up. Kids are coming up to the door. I got the music playing in the background. You know. All the fun songs. Well, towards the end of the cutoff, because in our division, you know, you've got certain hours, but it was getting near the end, and a little girl, literally about knee high, comes up with her mom, and just as they walk up, the Halloween theme comes on.
Michael Myers.
Yeah. Well, and that you're headed right where I'm headed, because the mom said, oh, you know, it's like, oh, it's the Halloween theme. And the little girl looks up at me and goes, Michael Myers. And I'm like, okay, here's your candy. Goodbye. The fact that that kid knew it as Michael Myers, I was like, no, we're done now.
Great.
That was scary.
Great parenting.
Yeah. That's where I was. I was like, all right, get the deadbolts and get the... Because, no. I think she's dressed up like a princess or something, too.
Oh, well, of course. Do you watch black and white movies at all?
Actually, one of my favorite Halloween movies is, what's it called? Day of the Dead. It's the 1950s.
Yeah, sure.
That one. Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, that's fantastic. It's the first real zombie movie.
Yep.
There's this fascinating movie. It's a suspense movie. It's called, have you ever heard of the 1955 classic, The Bad Seed?
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it.
It's about this 10-year-old girl with pigtails that she doesn't get her way. She puts your name in the book.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, it's great. It's along the line of Twilight Zone with a little more edge to it.
Right.
So.
I waffle back and forth. I think I texted you a week or two ago. I said I was doing a Resident Evil fest or whatever over that weekend. But some of the ones that I like, I mean, back from the 80s, they made some really zany ones that are just, you know, stupid. But I still like watching them. One's called Chud. If you Google Chud.
Yeah, I remember that. Sure. I didn't see it, but I remember it.
Yep. Chud. And the other one is, and you've probably seen this one, Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
I haven't seen it. I'm aware of it.
Oh, if you want some good laughs and just stupidity, that one's fun for everybody, I think. But suspense-wise, there's a movie called Signs with Mel Gibson.
Right.
That one, for whatever reason, there's a scene or two in it that just freaks me out. I mean, let's see, a couple others in the zombie genre that have been recent, World War Z.
Right.
And there's also a book that goes with that. And then there's I Am Legend. So.
Right. You want to do a top five horror / movies?
Yeah, I can do that.
Go ahead.
It's going to be more like top 500 once I put these into a category.
Okay.
You know, not so much gore, not so much this, that, or the other, but just, you know, what I like. This time of year, I will click around and find that, oh, look, Halloween Resurrection's on, or Halloween 1, or Halloween 2, or, you know, and I'll watch those. So I'm just going to call it the Halloween genre goes number 5.
Right. Yeah.
Friday the 13th probably goes number 4. That series. My favorite number 3 is probably Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Okay.
Yeah. Number 2 is let me think here. There's one, oh, what is the name of it? I'm gonna say this, but it's only because I'm actually got it on TV right now. I've never watched The Conjuring.
No, thank you.
Yeah, it's in the same vein as Exorcist, Amityville Horror, a house that's haunted. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but the thing that's funny about it, I think I am going to make it number 2. The same lead male role in this is the same guy that played Peter in Office Space. So it's like, you know, no, I have not completed my TPS reports. Well, you know, people are flying across the room.
That movie is the best.
Yeah. So there actually is a link to a good movie in that one. So I'm going to call that number 2. And number 1, I'm going to say is World War Z.
Okay. Let's see. Around this time of year, I can't do gore anymore. So around this time of year, I watch the original Twilight Zone with Rod Serling on Netflix. And, this is my bonus pick. When I was in high school, I think they were on the USA Network, the reruns, Inglourious Black and White, of course. And I've never seen the movie for whatever reason, which I wanted to, but somebody, for whatever reason, somebody died in that. And I never saw it.
The Crow?
No. Twilight Zone. The Twilight Zone movie.
Yeah. It was a helicopter crash or something like that, if I remember right. Yep.
Yeah. So... Prob there's so many good Twilight Zone episodes, but the first one that kind of and I went back and rewatched it. It was The Nightmare of 20,000 Feet.
Oh, okay.
And that when I rewatched it and analyzed it again, that was the first time that Shatner got out of a psych hospital.
Oh.
So you know, he's, you know, and he's at Here's the window. So he's at the window, and you know, the crazy things that go on at the window at 20,000 feet, and then at
the
end.
Is that the one where the gremlin or whatever is walking on the wing?
Yes,
I've seen it.
Yeah, but at the end, you know, everybody thought he was lying, and
yeah,
they showed the close up of he was actually bent the steel to try and wreck the plane.
Right.
My number five pick has Scatman Crothers in it, and it's kind of like COVID in the 80s. But
not to make fun of this, but you know, given how past his prologue, that was called HIV. So
precisely
same but, people running the show, so I'll just leave it at that.
Yes, exactly. When they warm this character at the beginning, you realize you're going to be shut in up here for 6 months. So I mean, that's like the COVID warning right there,
right?
So it's Jack Nicholson in The Shining.
Yeah, there we go.
So fantastic movie. That's my number five. My number four, you touched on it earlier, Glorious Black and White, The Night of the Living Dead.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to really do two of those. Let's see. Yeah, you know, let's see, a horror movie. Well, I'll also talk about another one that's not really a horror movie, but my aunt from California and my cousin, we'd always go to movies every summer in Anderson. And we went to like every movie every week. And we went to this one movie called Dragon Slayer.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And there's this scene where there's this scene when the king comes down after everything's over. And he stabs the dragon in the neck with his sword, and blood just gushes everywhere. And I was like, you know, I'm 12, and I'm like, well, I'm not feeling real good about that one. So anyway, let's see. So,
while you're thinking on that, you know, I got to see Raiders of the Lost Ark in the theater, and I was maybe younger than that. And when the faces started melting, you know, it was just kind of like my parents are so cool for bringing me to this movie.
yeah. They saw the Ghost from the Ark.
Yeah.
Great movie. I'm just gonna have to do two from the same director. I hate doing that, but you know, what are you gonna do? Never mind. I think I can do a couple here. Clockwork Orange.
Yeah. And that's the one I'd mentioned in a previous podcast. We were trying to petition our psych teacher in high school to have a showing of that. And he's like, no, it's X-rated. You can't do that.
It's pretty hardcore.
I'll not only get fired, I will go to jail.
Yeah. Stanley Kubrick. That's pretty hardcore.
Yes. Yep.
Let's see. I'll do another Stephen King. Who cares? Christine.
I saw the Carrie remake here in the last 4 or 5 days.
I never saw that.
Have you ever read Cujo or seen the movie Cujo?
No.
Yeah. Now I'm kicking myself. I should have mentioned some Stephen King stuff. I read Cujo when I was probably in middle school.
Yeah.
Carrie, I never read. There is one that I don't really view it as horror, but it's kind of in the suspense vein of Stephen King. He did a series called The Dark Tower, and that movie was just on earlier today. If we're getting into sci-fi horror, I like, I can't believe I didn't mention this, the Alien series.
Yeah, of course.
And let's see what else. There's a movie called Life. It's been recent. It's got the guy from Deadpool in it.
Ryan Reynolds.
It's got Ryan Reynolds in it. That's been within the last five years or so, I think. And then there's also one called they actually modeled some of this movie after The Shining. It's got Jennifer Lawrence and somebody else in it. I can't remember the name of it, but it's basically a futuristic movie where they're traveling to a distant planet with a lot of people, and they wake up years before they're supposed to wake up, and things are going wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised. I'm a huge Jennifer Lawrence fan. I'm surprised I don't know that one, but I don't.
I can't remember the guy's name. I'll text you the name of it later. It is a good one. It is neat. It's not like gory violence or anything else like that. It's more suspense. And there is literally a scene in that movie where they're sitting at a bar, kind of like Jack Nicklaus was.
Yeah.
You know, and they modeled it exactly after that.
Right. I can't believe I'm drawing a blank on this actress's name. Okay. Yeah, I think I got it. Starring, I want to say, Kim Novak. The guy who really put it on the map, Alfred Hitchcock Psycho and Glorious Black Boy.
I'll tell a story about that, how it ties in. And I've always paid attention to the movie The Birds. And
I
never watched it, and it doesn't strike me as scary, but it horrifies my mom.
Because, oh yeah, mine too.
Yeah, because but the thing is, she makes sure each, you know, throughout the year that the birds outside have bird food and everything else like that. And I was like, okay, this is you know, this is different. But when my mom was little, lived on a farm, and every morning while she was trying to get to the bus, between her doorstep and the bus, you know, I don't know, 100, 150 feet away, this rooster would chase her across the yard. So she's had a thing against birds ever since then. So,
well, that makes sense.
The birds. And then, a nod to the Baltimore Ravens. Was it Edgar Allan Poe?
Edgar Allan Poe. Great writer.
Nevermore.
I love Edgar Allan Poe. Speech class at Ball State when I was a freshman about that. And it was I want to say it's the Eight-Chambered Heart, but that doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
And I read that for my speech class, and nobody knew who it was, and everybody thought it was Stephen King, and I'm like, nope. Edgar Allan Poe. The crazy thing about Psycho, I was going through an antique store, and it was in the 90s, and they had the original Psycho movie poster for $60. And I said, wow, that's a little high, and I never got it. And then the next time I looked at the value, it like doubled. Ugh. So
20 years ago, when the Drew Brees led Purdue Boilermakers into the Rose Bowl.
That's correct.
I just want to put that out there in case people weren't aware. But we were out there for the Rose Bowl that year because, you know, Purdue's been to a Rose Bowl since IU has. But sorry,
that's okay.
The pre-party was at Universal Studios Hollywood, Right. And one of the things we did, we rode the rides, we did the tours, all that, and they take you through the studio. And basically, the sets, for example, Back to the Future, the clock tower,
it's
there. You get to see it. You get to, you know, go past some of the stuff with the movie Jaws and all these things. But the Psycho House is there.
Yeah. I have a house that looks exactly like that.
Okay.
On the east side.
All
except
right.
It's run down.
Yeah.
It looks almost like that.
Did you watch the knockoff of that was on TV in the last 5 to 10 years? I can't remember the guy's name. But they basically did, I can't remember what the name of it was, but I watched all of that and it was in that same vein. And and the thing was that, you know, they're running a hotel there or a motel there, and you know, he's having he's having problems, and that's pretty much how the whole series went.
They had I used to watch this all the time too. They used to have the original Alfred Hitchcock Presents and Glorious Black and White on Hulu, and they took it off, and I'm like, really?
Yeah.
So
it was called the Bates Motel. I'm pretty sure they're streaming it out there if you haven't seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that and I'm like, well, not anymore. I can't do that. No, that's out.
It was something, but yeah. So no, that's good stuff. And the, one of the other sci-fi ones, and this would have been in the last 20 years, it's called Event Horizon. Mm-hmm. And my roommate at the time, I mean, he can take a lot, but he saw that and it's like, that's disturbing. It was. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't, there is no way I'd put my hard earned funds to the Saw movies ever.
Right. I did. I watched maybe one and I was like, I'm done. And even like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. You know,
yeah.
I
saw that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The scene with the hammer.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm referring to. That I was okay up to that, but no.
Have you ever seen Reservoir Dogs? Like Quentin Tarantino?
I own it. Yep.
The ear scene, dude, is like insane.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
But in that same, because I think it's Quentin Tarantino also did Pulp Fiction, right? It's
correct. Kind
of, yeah. So it's I own both of those, and
yeah,
you kind of know what you're getting before you go in there. So
I love Pulp Fiction. That's a fantastic movie that put a Travolta back on the map.
Well, and but the scene with the syringe and jump start. Oh yeah. Heart,
boom.
No. No. Yeah. I mean, if I was in his shoes, I probably would have found a way to do the same thing, but no.
Yeah, I remember that well. She woke up.
She crisis averted, but.
Yeah, I couldn't be an ambulance driver.
No.
Assistant. No. No, I ain't the one.
I've got a buddy of mine. He's you know, a year older than me, and he is actually starting his new career. He's been accepted to nursing school down at Indiana State, and he's going to be doing that and all that. And you know, he'd gotten approved for it right around the time COVID was starting to become a thing. And I said to him, "Are you sure you want to do this?" So
now, if it was my kids, that's another story.
Right.
But, you know, run of the mill, normal citizen.
Yeah. It's like, good luck, man.
Yeah. It's been nice knowing you. Sorry about that. Your insurance doesn't cover it. So,
and that's some of the things I've picked up over the years with just different, you know, courses I've taken or, you know, cases I've seen and things like that. It is literally, if, say somebody drops of a cardiac arrest on the street,
right?
You have two choices: you help them and you don't stop, or you don't help them. And it's like, you know. So I don't know. I thank God I've not had to be in that situation. I probably need to get my CPR certification again. And
yeah, me too.
But mine. Yeah. but now they've got those they've got equipment, you know, that
right
should be close by, and I'm scared to death I'm gonna use one of those on somebody and they don't need it.
Hey, let's do a Halloween
that's a whole nother bag of stuff. But now real quick, I wanted to get in here. Did you see the quadruple doink?
No.
It was some college game. Look it up. It's the best thing ever. I'm sorry. They didn't get the extra point or the 3 points or whatever. Yeah. They should have won that game right there, because you get a quadruple doink off a kick.
Yeah.
You need to win the game. Period. Just that's it. Just
overruled.
Yeah, exactly. Quadruple doink, automatic win.
I want to throw in there, since this is probably, going to be our last show before Halloween. I don't have the details. I don't have the specifics. Look them up on a Google or your favorite search engine. Go to Rocket Fizz. Support your local Rocket Fizz store. You will be glad you did. They've got any candy you could think of. They've got any pop you could think of. They've got, you know, if you like, they've got rock and roll stuff. They've got all kinds of stuff there. So go support your local Rocket Fizz. It's Halloween. Get something special for your kids or your spouse or whatever. So I normally don't bring them up, but I drove past there this last weekend and I didn't go in there. But the problem was, if I go in there, I'm dropping a boatload, and I didn't want to do that either.
I wrote it down because I know we've talked about it before, and I will absolutely go in there because that sounds like an awesome place, because they've got the candy cigarettes. I mean,
yeah, and then they've got all the old school pops and every flavor you can think of. Oh, I forgot to tell you, they've got I don't know if you they've got a New York seltzer.
Oh, okay.
They've got all the flavors for New York seltzer. If they're not sold out, they sell out pretty quick,
I imagine.
So that's reason enough to go in there alone. So
that's on the circle.
Yeah. It's on a southeast side.
I'm surprised they didn't have some complications with the events that went on back in May, but as long as they're doing business, I mean, any candy store should do business. So
yeah, no kidding.
So good deal. All right.
You got any closing comments?
No, just everybody have a good Halloween. I know that there's a lot of, you know, uncertainty about safety and everything else like that. But, you know, if we handle it right, I think kids can have a good evening, and let's be safe and actually have some fun for what's supposed to be a fun time.
Yeah, it's a Saturday night. You know, go out there and enjoy yourself. Just be smart.
Yep.
Be smart about it. So I'm sure your families can have a good time and, you know, not OD on candy like me and my brother used to do. So
anybody stopping by my house, there'll be a box full of, you know, select candies and bags and hand sanitizer. So
okay. About it. Sounds good. All right. Today's show was brought to you by the letter J, Joshua 1, Psalm 91, 7, and the entire Serenity Prayer. I'm Joe Carney for Indy's Local Flavor and for my buddy Rob, and we'll see you soon.